Welcome back to another episode of Chatting Cinema, another tier maker. Today we are looking at the DC, is it EU or DCU? I guess it's the DCEU.
Yeah, I guess. I don't even know if it exists anymore.
Yeah, it's like,
it'll probably
this
get
isn't even all the DC movies. This is just like,
it's more like what was supposed to be their universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Man of Steel,
Marvel episode, it's going to be a very different vibe, just so you know.
Yeah. Are we going in release order again?
Yeah, I think release order makes sense. That.
Sounds good. So we'll start
Man of Steel?
The Man of Steel, yeah.
I'd put it in meh.
I would also put it in meh. Look,
I think if the ending's different, I would argue for good, but I think the ending ruins quite a lot.
Yeah.
Henry Cavill's good.
Yeah.
Henry Cavill's great. Good. I think he's a perfect casting for Superman.
I think that more for me, because like, as with all Zack Snyder productions, any conversation about this movie is a holy war. So even worse to me than the characterization of Superman in this movie that I'm not a fan of, this movie is painfully boring to me. I gotta say, I think it's so dull. I rewatched it probably a couple of years ago. Because I'm constantly, whenever I have really negative feelings about something that, you know, there's like an upswell of love for, I'm always like, I'm probably the one that's wrong, so let me revisit this thing. So I have done that with Man of Steel a couple of times, and every time I watch it, I'm just like checking my watch. Like, I think it's boring. I think that the death of Jonathan Kent is stupid.
It was such a bad scene.
And yeah, I wish Cavill got a better chance. And again, I know that a lot of people like really think that this is masterful stuff, but to me, this is just like not the Superman that I was super hoping to see. So meh.
Yeah.
Like Zimmer's score.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I mean, he's never made a bad one. So
yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Cool. Michael Shannon's really good in that movie.
Michael Shannon is
really good in that movie.
I see that they put Batman vs. Superman and Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice Ultimate Edition.
Oh, is that right? Oh, wow. My goodness. Wow. Well,
okay, I'm going to just say it. And again, if you like these movies, that's fine. I think both belong in bad.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Gianni and I were talking before you hopped on. And like, I think I'd... I'm going back and forth between meh and good, to be honest. Like, this is one that like... It's sort of the opposite of Man of Steel to me, where like, you know, with as much as I don't like a lot of the characterizations, one thing you cannot say about this movie is that it's dull. There is always something happening in this movie. Yeah. Like, it's too much. It did too much too fast. And, you know, it's one of these things where when you talk about the DCEU, people are like, well, they couldn't follow the Marvel formula and give everybody origin stories, and it's like they didn't have to. Like, you know, Justice League Doom is a 76 minute movie or whatever, and you get all you need to know about the Justice League in, I don't know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes when they fight the Royal Flush Gang in that movie. So it's not necessarily that like it's, you know, the wrong way to go about building a universe or whatever, it's just the execution of it.
You know, for me, like, this is a meh movie overall with some amazing moments in it.
I'm cool with that, yeah.
I think there are, like, just teases. Like, so many times I felt teased. In the beginning when the fight over Metropolis is happening and we see Bruce Wayne for the first time. And I thought in the theater when I was watching that, I thought, like, oh, my God, Ben Affleck is going to be my favorite Batman at the end of this movie.
Yeah, that's... Yes.
And that thought went away after like 20 minutes.
that scene's fantastic. But like, that is a really good scene.
That kind of encapsulates how I feel about this movie, because it's not just that moment, but it's like a lot of the moments with Bruce and Alfred that really like hit well for me. Mm-hmm. I love the Batcave. I loved his Batmobile. But then I don't like to see Batman like murdering people, and he's killing people. There's no defending of that, you know.
Merkin dudes left and right.
I do also like Batman and Wonder Woman's dynamic, especially that first scene where they meet. I feel like it was kind of a cool scene where like
Wonder Woman's good.
Wonder Woman's theme.
Wonder Woman's theme.
You know what? I think Henry Cavill is better in this than in Man of Steel.
I think so too.
I really like the ideas that they bring up too of like, is Superman good or bad for the world? And I like that they were kind of interrogating that a little bit, and they kind of made you feel like, I felt for Superman a lot. I felt like this guy must be so lonely, you know. And
I think the tired look on his face when Capitol Hill explodes. When the Capitol building explodes and he's just like, oh my god, not again. Like, I'm gonna have to deal with this. Like Scoot McNairy. I remember when Scoot McNairy, because they have his character lose his legs in the Metropolis disaster, and he was wearing like CGI like a green suit down from his knees down, if you were like, oh my god, he's the Flash. They're gonna CG his legs. I ate up every bit of information leading up to this movie. I was really excited for it, but like, there's so much like, oh, Doomsday, no. The way I was a serial defender of the casting of Jesse Eisenberg, because The Social Network is my favorite film of all time. And I said, it's brilliant. You just have him be Mark Zuckerberg. You have him do the exact same performance in this movie. And they were like, no, he's going to be Max Landis instead. And it's like, oh, no. Oh, God. Don't put that Jolly Rancher anywhere near me, Mr. Luther. So he's a freak.
If you were doing the scenes, that would go and stay the fuck away from me.
Yeah. He's a freak. He's got a basketball court in LexCorp for some reason. I think I agree with the sentiment that you said, Gianni. Like, there are some really good moments in this. And I think that people, like, when this movie gets reinterrogated and people are like, oh, well, actually, I think they're remembering those moments and not the full picture. And I will say one thing that I said before we started recording that I feel like is true of this and another picture that we'll get to later. I don't think the Ultimate Edition materially changes it all that much. Yeah. Like, people are like, oh, it gives this stuff context. And it's like, cool, I still don't like it. So, yeah, I'm fine with it. And meh. But I do think that's my favorite of the Zack Snyder stuff.
You silly boy.
Oh man, we finally found one that goes to the bottom. Stay the fuck away.
Yeah, I don't like that.
And this, it's a shame. It's really a shame, because that first trailer, Bohemian Rhapsody, is still such a great trailer.
I was super excited for this.
Yeah.
And so many great casting choices from Margot Robbie. Clearly is still one of the best choices they've made, because she is made Harley Quinn one of the most popular characters in pop culture. And I still think Will Smith is a great choice. Like, there's a lot of good things happening, but then there's so much bad. And for me, the biggest thing is I just can't stand Jared Leto's Joker.
Oh boy. This movie's a pile of dog shit.
Boy, yeah.
I still, you know, whenever anyone asks me, what the worst film I've ever seen is, this one pops into my head first. And
especially the worst movie you've seen in theaters.
This is the easy answer for theaters. I mean, it's like astoundingly bad. Like, I don't think that people, like, even the Folding Ideas YouTube channel did a video, Dan Olson, talking about the editing of this film. And I implore everybody to check that out, because it's like, it's incompetent. Like, it's downright like mystifying just how bad this movie is. And it's that you look at all the elements together and it's like, how did this end up so bad? And then you watch it and it's like, oh wow, oh geez. And people are like, you know, well, don't call it David Ayer's movie because it's not David Ayer's movie. Look, there's no salvaging this movie. There's nothing that you can tell me. There is no amount of footage left on the cutting room floor that you can convince me that you can make this anything more than a waste of time. And I hate talking bad about movies that way, because like, there's always value to be had. And it's still true in this. There's some value. This is the best Ezra Miller Flash performance. The 20 seconds he has is the best Ezra Miller Flash performance to me. oh boy, this movie sucks.
I don't know. I say release the air cut.
Oh god, just because I'll watch it and then I'll like still be pissed at the end.
And we'll probably put that one in bad as opposed to Stay the Fuck Away from me and my family.
All right, what's next?
Is it Wonder Woman?
Amazing. That's where I would put it.
Just wow.
Just wow. I'm cool with just wow.
You know what? I am cool with just wow, because after the four movies or three movies that we've discussed so far, it felt good to have a win.
Mm.
You know? Yeah. Like, I felt like this movie kind of had a big task where, like, she was introduced in Batman vs. Superman, but now it's throwing her in on her own, but, like, before the events of that movie.
Yeah.
And I think the score is wonderful. Wonder Woman's theme to this day is one of the best individual superhero themes. And I think the fight scenes are great. I think Chris Pine's a great side character.
Steve Trevor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Wonder Woman, it was just like, it was nice to have a win from DC. Because again, you may think that we're just haters at this point, but like, we want to love these movies. Yeah. I remember going to see Batman vs. Superman, Man of Steel, both at midnight. I saw Suicide Squad opening night, wanted to love all of them.
Oh my God.
Mm.
I don't want to keep talking about Suicide Squad. I remember going to see it opening night on Thursday, and I was there and the theater was so full, like every seat was filled, and it was like 5 minutes in and I was like, oh no. Like the Arrested Development, I've made a terrible mistake. Anyway, Wonder Woman though is fantastic. Like Patty Jenkins, so good. No Man's Land is still like a landmark scene for me. And Gal is Wonder Woman, like, you know, and I think that this is another one of these movies, you know, we talked about this with the MCU tier maker a little bit, if you've watched that, but people say it falls apart in the third act. I don't know, man, like Diana saying, I believe in love works for me. I think it's good. So I think it's great. I think it's a great movie.
I think when you're dealing with something as big as love, like that third act fight sequence fits, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I've said this before. I'm just a sucker for romance. But when Steve Trevor says, I wish we had more time, and then he gets on that plane, I mean, that guts me every time I see it. I adore that scene.
Yeah.
It's
one of these things, it's a companion piece with Captain America, the First Avenger, where, like, you know, it's this period war film, and it's got a great central romance. It's really, really good. Patty Jenkins, fuck yeah.
Just works.
Is Justice League next?
What even? I would save Justice League, to be honest. I would save it until Snyder's Justice League and then just do both of them together.
So Aquaman, right?
I'd put Aquaman in either good or meh.
I would put Aquaman. Yeah, I'd probably put it in meh.
Yeah.
The reason why I lean good is because anytime Willem Dafoe shows up, it's just a little bit better. But this movie just falls flat in some ways. I mean, I really, really, really like Jason Momoa's casting. Like, I think he's a great actor. I think he's a great fit for a different take of the character, like from some storylines in the comics. But like, you know what? It is kind of meh now I'm thinking about it.
Some of the acting is really good. And you know what? I just think it's very telling that before this movie even came out and they were doing press for it, James Wan was saying, like, for the sequel, I want to have a better script.
Right.
That, to me, it was the writing on the wall, you know?
Yeah.
I'm actually shocked that they still let him direct the sequel after he said that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, they canceled a spinoff.
Yeah.
The Trench spinoff, so.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's again, one of these things where it's, like, dull. Kind of boring to me. I think that a lot of it looks bad. Like, I think that a lot of people think that this movie looks good, but I don't know. It's one of these things where, like, it feels like it's trying to be like a desktop wallpaper at sometimes, and it feels very like fake to me. I don't know, the cinematography. I agree with the casting of Jason Momoa because I think it was really smart. And I give, you know, credit to Snyder and co for this, of being like, well, you know, this guy in, you know, the current zeitgeist is like a joke, right? Like Aquaman is the butt of a lot of jokes. So how do we make him cool? You cast Jason Momoa, and it's like, and it's so smart to cast, like, he's an Islander. So like, that was a really cool twist of Aquaman. Yeah. And it's not good.
So Yahya Abdul-Mateen though. Love it.
Yeah.
I don't think the sequel is going to be very good either, but whatever. Birds of Prey, I would put in Just Wow, to be perfectly
honest. I would
put
Birds of Prey in Just Wow. Absolutely.
That's my number two DCEU movie. Kathy Yan. Mm-hmm. Major props. This movie's awesome. Like, it's so much fun. And it was one of these where, like, I really wish it didn't flop. And I think it was bogged down, like another movie on this list, by just how putrid the stench of 2016 Suicide Squad is.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, it's Margot's Harley Quinn, and is this kind of like the same thing? It's completely different. Like, it's a blast from beginning to end, and it's very comic booky.
Yeah.
And I think that's a strong selling point. And all the characters are great. I mean, like, Renee Montoya is cool the way she's used, and Black Canary is great. Journey Smollett's Black Canary, really, really great. Cassandra Cain is cool in this.
I feel like people give a lot of hate to Ewan McGregor's Black Mask, but I like it.
Oh my god,
he's great.
He's still the best DCEU villain to me. Like, his energy is infectious.
Yeah.
And the, like, his relationship with Zaz is like,
oh my god, it's hilarious. Oh,
like, I can't believe they went this route. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Birds of Prey really was just a fun movie, and I saw it with my buddy Griffin, and I remember us leaving the theater just thinking how much fun we had, and it really felt like a comic book just on a movie screen. Yeah. And again, Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn has to be one of the best castings in a superhero movie ever.
You know what's interesting? Like,
the fact that she just is so fun to watch again. It's great.
I think Birds of Prey is a really good example of one, just you can see it in the filmmaking and the finished product, and then especially in the BTS, just how much fun they had making it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that translates to your viewing experience.
Yeah.
But also, like, Margot Robbie has quietly become one of the best producers in Hollywood, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, she's working on really incredible stuff. This is obviously an example of that.
Yeah.
I love Birds of Prey.
Yeah, I want to give the shout to Mary Elizabeth Winstead's Huntress too, because I didn't mention her as I was talking about the rest of the birds.
Yeah,
and she's awesome too. So,
and I remember that being a question at the beginning of the movie, like when they announced it, is like, how is Harley Quinn with the Birds of Prey? Like, how is that going to work out? And I think they did a cool job of making a nice story where it kind of fit into that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that end fight scene is just so much fun.
Mm. The stopping for like offering of a hair tie. Brilliant beat.
Great movie. I think Shazam is good.
Yeah, I'd put it in good.
I'd fight for Shazam to be an amazing, but I'm okay with it being in good. But I really love this movie.
Yeah. I realize I'm going to have a very controversial opinion coming up. Just looking at what we have left. yeah, I would put Shazam in good. I think it's a lot of fun. I think that Zachary Levi silenced a lot of haters. Like, I think a lot of people are like, well, how's he gonna fill out the suit, and like, this guy doesn't look like a superhero. And I think that he was really a great choice for what Shazam needs to be. And this is, you know, I think David Sandberg really got this character. And the way that he brought him to life is really great. I'm excited to see, you know, I'm honestly nervous for the sequel, because like, I don't want it to be one of these like doing too much too quickly things. So we'll see how it turns out. But I think that this is like really self-contained and really good. Like, I think it's good.
Yeah. I mean, I started doing a DC watch before the Snyder Cut came out, and I hadn't seen a lot of the, like, I hadn't seen Shazam or Aquaman and, or actually the original Justice League Whedon version. And when I watched Shazam, I was like, man, I just had fun watching this. And like, that is not true about a lot of these other movies that have been on this list, where like Shazam had a really fun spirit and heart to it. And like, I feel like all the kid actors did a really great job, which is always fun. And I even liked the villain, even though I can't think of his name, not because he was like a great villain, but just because like, he was fine for the movie. It's almost mm-hmm. like the MCU approach of like, you don't need to be the best thing happening here. We care about Shazam. Yeah. But I just think it's a good movie. And I think it gets hate for, even from Snyder fans where they're like, it's too funny. It's too MCU. Like, I'm like, no, yeah. just have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good interpretation of that character.
Mm-hmm.
What's, I guess, Wonder Woman? Do yeah. Wonder Woman next? This was the controversial opinion I was talking about. I would put this in amazing.
I would put it in good.
I am very high on this movie. You know, I recognize the problems with it, and I don't much care about them. I think that Pedro Pascal as Maxwell Lord is like the right amount of off the wall, out of his mind. Seeing Gal as Diana is always great. I understand the ethical concerns with, you know, how they handle the Steve Trevor stuff. I hear that criticism. It's one of these things that I just kind of ignore. But for me, you know, Gianni, you were talking about with the first Wonder Woman, you know, being a sucker for romance. I am always a sucker for whenever, and this is the same as the first Wonder Woman, whenever love is like the most powerful thing in the world.
Hmm.
And I think that, you know, the way they handle that in the third act is something that, you know, I understand how it doesn't work for most people, but it's just one of these things that was kind of tailored for me with the stuff that I really like about it. And Kristen Wiig's Cheetah, I think, was another like surprising, like, I think she's pretty solid. I don't like the visuals, the way they bring her to life at the end, too much, but I don't know, man. Like the fight, where does it happen? The White House?
Yeah.
Her and Kristen Wiig's fight. I think that's really cool. And like Diana losing her powers and kind of having to figure it out. Diana is like saving people a lot in this movie, just like saving regular people. And I think that sometimes, whether it's the MCU or the DCU or whatever, I think that they can lose sight of just like having superheroes save people. That is something that I really like to see. So I don't know. I'm just really high on this movie. I know a lot of people hate it, but
I would also put it in good. I think I agree with Luke. And I agree with a lot of what you just said, Flynn. And I think for me, literally the only gripe I had with this was sort of the handling of Steve Trevor.
Yeah.
Because I agree wholeheartedly with the third act. I think they really like drove it home and I really like the message. And before that, I was kind of questioning, like, should we have brought him back?
Yeah.
The only hang up for me though, and I know it's like, I guess I could ignore it. I really could, but it's the only hang up is that it's not Chris Pine, like not everyone is seeing Chris Pine, only right. Diana sees that.
Right.
And that's the only hang up I have. It's just when that was revealed, I was like,
yeah, I get that.
A little weird. But like overall, the messages in the movie are good. Oh, and I love the mall scene.
Yeah.
I think the action is really good. Like I like how bright it was too. It was very colorful. But
I was gonna say the fireworks scene in the invisible jet was pretty sick.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that was beautiful. Yeah.
But I do think the best part about the movie far and away is Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, he's good.
So memeable, but like in a good way. Like,
that meme ruled Twitter in the
I love that.
Life is good, but it could be better.
right.
We want to save the Justice League?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm probably putting the Suicide Squad in Just Wow.
It's Just Wow.
Yeah. To me personally, I think it's like easily the best DCU movie. I think it clears. James Gunn is just, you know, a superhero himself at this kind of stuff. And I think the Suicide Squad is a kind of, you know, the kind of group that's right up his alley. You know, it was one of these things where like the Suicide Squad was more well known than the Guardians, even though it was still kind of a lower tier. And people were explaining the Guardians as Marvel's Suicide Squad. And obviously it's a touch different. It's a touch different. Like they are criminals and like, you know, that are becoming superheroes. But this movie is very different because it's hard R. It's a lot of blood and guts and funny effects. And I think that, you know, that's where James Gunn kind of got his start with like trauma stuff and Slither. So it was cool getting to see him like flex those muscles where he like really can't in a Disney backed PG-13. Danielle Melchior is Ratcatcher 2. That's it. But the whole cast, the whole cast, David S. Malkian is as Polka Dot Man, and John Cena is Peacemaker, Idris Elba as Bloodsport. Like, there's a lot of really good choices in here. And the way the group comes together, you know, Margot Robbie's doing her own thing as Harley Quinn is really great. The actual stakes of knowing, like, anybody could die at any given moment, kind of rare for this franchise stuff now. So, you know, having, like, it's always side characters, right, that are getting this, but, like, when everybody's a side character, who's safe? And, like, I went into the movie thinking, like, only Margot's Harley was safe, and then after Boomerang gets iced, I was like, maybe not. I don't know. Like, James Gunn really, like, I think that he used the right deaths at the right times to keep that going. Rest in peace, Milton. I think it's great. Like,
James, I can't Gunn, say enough good things about this movie. Yeah, I mean,
killer.
I just think that this one is, like, the perfect balance between what DC fans want of darker stories than the MCU, but still having, like, the comic book feel to them. And, like, most of these characters are not household names, and you haven't heard of most of them. Like, I am a gigantic Polka Dot Man fan now, but I will not try to claim that I knew a shred of detail about him aside from his name before this movie, like, or even Peacemaker or Ratcatcher. Like, all of these characters, and this is James Gunn's wheelhouse, is he could take, like, a roll of toilet paper and make you cry when it gets used. Like, it's truly crazy what he does with character work and how quickly he can accomplish it. And on top of that, his soundtracks are notoriously fun, and this one is no exception. And I think the way he structures this movie and the way it's edited is one of the cleanest in this whole list by far, of just, like, a clear act structure. And I don't really think there's a way to, like, criticize how he laid things out, and, like, that whole first scene with the whole throwaway team. Like,
it's so good, so
well done. And it set the tone for what this movie should be, is the Suicide Squad characters can die. And, like, we were all so excited to see Jai Courtney back as Captain Boomerang. And, you know, he was like, bye-bye. Or, like, Pete Davidson in the movie. We're like, cool,
yeah,
Pete Davidson.
Yeah.
And, but again, I think that just worked. I think it worked. And I love how he said to directors, like, don't take my movie as the Bible. Like, you can use these people. Like, these are great actors who fit the characters well. Go for it. Use them. But I just remember seeing it this past August and just thinking, like, damn, I wish I felt like this every time a DC movie came out.
Yeah. It's so funny, too. It's super funny. Like, the comedy really works in this movie.
Definitely. And I think this really speaks to James Gunn's talent, but the way that he was able to recontextualize Joel Kinnaman's Rick Flag from 2016 to now, oh, what an upgrade.
Yes.
But it's just, like, it also goes to show how well he writes heart, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that went from being arguably my least favorite character in the DCU outside of Jared Leto's Joker to, like, one of my favorites. His death hits so hard when it comes, because up until that point, you're thinking, like, this is the only genuine good guy on the team, you know? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
James Gunn.
Yeah. Like, phenomenal stuff. Like, yeah, nothing but good things to say about the Suicide Squad. I think it's great.
Where does Peacemaker go, since Flynn and I have not seen this?
Yeah, so I have not watched it yet.
I have the absolute authority, and I'm absolutely putting in amazing. I really think so, because everything I just said about James Gunn in the Suicide Squad is echoed for the Peacemaker, where I just called it the Peacemaker as if it was Batman. Anyways, John Cena does not get enough credit for his acting chops at all. And I think this show, once you watch this show, you cannot criticize this man ever again. Peacemaker is such an interesting character, and there's a couple characters from the Suicide Squad that show up as well, and then there's some new ones introduced, but this almost feels like just like a nice treat that we got, because again, it wasn't supposed to happen, and James Gunn only wrote it because of the pandemic, but after seeing John Cena as the Peacemaker, is like, we need more of him, and I fully agree. this show has such a nice, concise first season with like really great character arcs and interesting villain group. And I think it's such a fun comic book story. And I'm not saying it's like, I don't know if it would have worked as a 2-hour movie, but I think that's why it worked, is because they chose to do a TV show with 8 episodes and they got to pace it out. And also, my boy Vigilante is ridiculous. He is so much fun. There is so many outlandish moments, and like the White Dragon is crazy and the suit is so cool. But then you remember he's a Nazi, so you hate him. There's just so many cool things about this show, and it just is a perfect companion piece to the Suicide Squad. And the only reason why it's not in just WoW is because I think we're getting more, so there's still more to be told. We'll find out. Yeah, but I loved it.
Oh boy. I would put both of these films in bad, if I'm being perfectly honest.
I was leaning that way too.
So
listen, don't hate us. You're allowed to have your opinion. You're allowed to love this. This is probably one of the weirdest DCEU tier makers you're going to see. But you know what? I'm tired of not saying how I feel about this movie.
So Justice League, as it's known today, was another one of these movies during the theatrical experience where like I turned to the person I was with and apologized for making them go, because that's how bad I thought it was. And so you would think, you know, oh, Zack Snyder gets his vision, it's going to be so much better. I think these are the same movie, to be honest. Like at their core, they're the same movie. Maybe Zack Snyder's is four hours long, but like a lot of the problems are still there. Like structurally, just like at its core, you can't extend something that, in my opinion, is bad and think that it makes it good, because like those flaws just become more and more evident. Like, and I knew from the minute it started, because, you know, before the film was out on HBO Max, I guess not, because they like uploaded it under Tom and Jerry or whatever before it was supposed to come out on HBO Max for a second. But before it came out for general audiences and like critics were giving their opinions on it, everybody was saying, so much better than, you know, the Frankenstein Justice League we got, you know, significant improvement. Zack Snyder gets his vision and it's very good. I knew from the minute this started that I was not going to like it, because one of my least favorite things about Batman v Superman is the death of Superman. And it literally opens up making me watch it again in slow motion, as if it's taunting me as a film. As if it's laughing at me, looking into the depths of my soul and saying, there's nothing you can do about it. Strap in for the next 4 hours. So that wasn't a good tone setter. So I think both of them are bad. Obviously, you know, the Joss Whedon, Zack Snyder, Frankenstein movie is like really suffers the most from being two different people mashing something together that are like two different tones and, you know, two different approaches. And Snyder's Justice League is long and grim and bashes you over the head for 4 hours to me. So I don't really like either of them. I would not watch Zack Snyder's Justice League again. I watched it twice, actually, and I would not watch it again.
I think for me, I want to point out the things I liked about both, in that I really do love the casting of the entire Justice League. Like, I think they picked very good actors to bring these characters to life. And I mean, like, I enjoyed the more that we got of Barry and of Cyborg in Zack Snyder's Justice League. Not all of it, but I did like more of it. And I think that like Flash's like moment and the end of Zack Snyder's Justice League was pretty cool. I just wish that that was the only slow motion moment as opposed to every single time he ran fast.
You need to see the hot dog.
But again, I'm glad that Zach got to do his vision, because what happened was tragic and should never, I don't want anybody to ever go through something like that. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we're still allowed to have opinions about the movies, and it just wasn't really an interpretation I liked of the Justice League. And like, I think it was rushed. I think we should have built to it like the Avengers, where we got more of these characters. I mean, we hardly, like, you kill Superman in the second movie. And, like, the death of Superman is one of the greatest comic book arcs, and it means so much because of how many people he's impacted at that point. And in this universe, he had literally only met Wonder Woman and Batman for, like, a couple hours. Or, like, Batman for a couple days. But I just think that it was just rushed, and there was some good... I think we were talking about it with Batman vs. Superman, where there's some really great moments, and there's moments that I enjoy, but at the end of the day, it's just not a movie that I like as a whole.
I think I'll just take a different approach, because we gave our long thoughts on Zack Snyder and Justice League and the entire situation. But if there's anything that I'll take away from Zack Snyder's Justice League and the fact that it was released, and while I don't agree with the way we got it, I do like the idea that the cast had a much better time on his set than they did on Joss Whedon's.
Agreed. Yep. Yeah.
And I don't think that necessarily shows, because again, so much of these movies are the same. But just the thought that Zack Snyder was like respectful to the actors and the crew, and that, you know, whether we like his vision or not, like, at least he's a good person, you know. And it's
a great person. Seems like a great guy.
I think it's great that at least in hindsight, people are going to look back, and if you had to pick between one of these, you'd probably go with Zack Snyder's. Mm-hmm. Or at least that's how I would view it.
Yeah.
I also have no intention of rewatching either of these, so there's that.
But if I was, I would watch Zack's again.
Yeah.
If I speak, I'm in big trouble. No, I echo all those sentiments. I'm glad Zach got to do his thing. I wish it was a situation where he like went to Warner Brothers and they, out of the kindness of their hearts, didn't act like a mega corporation and were just like, yeah, of course you can finish it. Like, I wish he would have just got to stay on in general, because it is what it is,
right?
You know, like, they picked him to do this. And yes, Batman v Superman underperformed to expectations, but it still didn't like super tank. So, you know, if they wanted somebody different, they should have, you know, hired somebody different in the first place. So they really should have let him see it through, because what they did by removing him, you know, and this is very silly because, you know, very real things happened to Zack Snyder during the production of this movie that are tragic. But even just looking at it from Warner Brothers' side, they, like, this was a complete fumbling. Like, they're still working to recover, where I think that, like, if they would have just let Zack Snyder make his Justice League, number one, it probably would have been, like, they probably would have had him cut it down to 2.5 hours. I think that's the movie I want to see. Zack Snyder's 2.5 hour Justice League, because they weren't going to let him release it as 4 hours in theaters. So, you know, if they would have just stayed the course and, you know, given him the time he needed to complete the movie, I think that the DCEU, whatever it is, would be in a much better place than, you know, they really screwed themselves. So Warner Brothers is the biggest loser in all of this. So,
And on that note, that's our tier list, our ranking of the DCEU.
I mean, yeah, you know, looking at it, like, how many are in here? 4, 6, 7, 8.
Pretty.
13. I like around half of these movies almost.
Yeah.
And some of them I really, really like. So, and if you were including the Batman and the Dark Knight movies, you know, like, wasn't just the DCEU continuity. Warner Brothers and DC have made some phenomenal adaptations of these characters. So
yeah, like Green Lantern.
Exactly.
Green Lantern was worth it to get the joke about it in Deadpool. So
absolutely.
Hindsight.
Alrighty. On that note, we will catch you in the next one.